Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Episode 448, After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. The first thing I'll say about yesterday and Lindy Ruff's return to Buffalo, and you can tell me, stop me if you think I'm reaching for something to be negative about right off the bat. You talked yesterday about goal songs and all this stuff, and it was hard to see Lindy, knowing what he's like, or at least when we played for him, and maybe he's accustomed to it now. Selfie video to the fans for Instagram, pictures of him like posing in the black and red goat head jacket. Just being dragged around for clicks, man. I get it. I understand the era we live in, but he's got to just be like, for Christ's sake, let me get the fucking press conference done and let me start talking to people. He did a great job. Look, don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing Lindy. It's just, it's hard to see a 64-year-old man who doesn't give a shit about this element of the game having to do all that stuff. Welcome to the show.
Listen, I watched all those videos and I was watching him pose in the old red and black. And I just, you know it. Both you and I probably were giggling at the same time him do this, because that's not his element. That's not what Lindy Ruff is all about, is being a poser. He loves the game. He is the student of the game. And
This is what I mean. Like, he's 64 years old, and like, we know a lot of the people down there that are working and doing this stuff. So then they do great content work. Don't mistake what I'm saying at all. It's just not Lindy. That's just so un-Lindy, you know? So he's around all these young people, you know, he coaches young kids and the youngest team in the league. But anyway, I was laughing. You had to get permission from him to do videos like for all this stuff. Like,
he ran everything. I made a statement the other day, and it's going to be interesting to see the difference in Lindy and how he runs things. Like, I'm watching, you know, Jeff Skinner do Between Two Stalls. And, you know, it's that satire, fun thing where the players look like they're having fun doing this after practice, right? Spending an hour or so.
Yeah, I know. You know,
like Lindy's going to see these guys, you know, playing PlayStation against
each other. No, I don't want to do it. We're not doing this.
No, it's a conversation. You're the one who brought this shit up. So
Hold on. We've already had this conversation. Already,
but I want to ask you the question.
I brought up something completely separate that happened after the conversation where we're watching Lindy get kind of like dragged around, like he's a. I was very uncomfortable. Right. I felt bad for the guy, but he's probably in his mind, he's probably like, "Fuck, whatever." You know, it's few hours of work, and then they can get started.
He's been
tomorrow.
There, done that.
Yeah,
he knows exactly what he has to do. Half the people in that building are still there from when he coached before. There's some new people, but do you think Lindy Ruff is going through?
I don't think that's
yesterday
true.
Being nervous and having anxiety and all this. Like,
I don't think anyone's there, with the exception of maybe two people. Sorry, I didn't mean to disrupt you. I just wanted to correct you. I think I can name two people that are there.
But we're talking about. Change. We're talking about how the league has changed, okay? And Lindy taking videos and pictures with, you know, his new jacket and it, that's going out on social media. Videos are being played. I'm asking you a simple question. You never answer what I'm bringing up. Like, do you think that Lindy Ruff is okay with Jeff Skinner doing that Between Two Stalls? Do you think he's okay with those two kids?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm asking you.
It's all part of the new Lindy. Like, I got to sit back and wait. Like, time will tell. So I'm assuming that
do you not think the environment has to change? This has been a losing environment for a very long time.
Let me ask you something else.
But you never answer the question. I bring it up a thousand times. No, you don't. Do you actually think he's going to change the environment? Think Lindy's going to come in and say, I think we should just all, let's continue on your Between Two Stalls. Let's continue on you young guys playing PlayStation.
What did we talk about yesterday? I said, yes, I agreed with you. The culture and the environment is going to change. For sure. I agree with you. Let's move on from that. Do you think it's uncomfortable or awkward for Kevin and Lindy to sit next to each other? Because just 10 years ago, Kevin was Lindy's assistant. Now he's the general manager, being hired by the owner, made to appear like he had full control and did this monstrous one-week search with double-digit candidates, and now he's sitting next to Lindy Ruff, who very easily could be the GM of the team.
So what are you asking?
I don't know.
Is it nervous for Kevin Adams to be sitting beside Lindy Ruff? I think Kevin Adams feels very comfortable with his decision. I think he knows, you know, Kevin spoke in the presser about him being...
He does, because that's what his owner told him to do. I'm 100% assuming, by the way, but that's my assumption. And I'm saying, listen, I'm fine with the decision. I just, let's be clear on how we got here. I'm not going to sit here and be fooled that there was some massive search. The day he did the press conference, the decision was already made. So to say that you interviewed double digit candidates, there weren't double digit candidates that fit your description available, unless you're diving into the Babcocks and you're going to go to the league and get Quenville's permission or permission to talk to Quenville, or wait to see what happens in Pittsburgh, or wait to see what happens in other teams. Why? What was the rush? Was Lindy Ruff going to get scooped up in the next week? Let's make that clear right now. I'm fine with the decision. I actually think it's a pretty cool story. It's kind of like unfinished business. I like these stories. I mean, if this was going on somewhere else in the league, I would still be, I wouldn't say excited about it. I don't know if excitement is the right word. Very eager to see what happens and how this plays out. That's for damn sure. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to sit here and be fooled to think that, like, you went through some extensive search and came up with Lindy. It was the obvious choice from the get-go. It was basically, he alluded to it in the press conference. He should have just fucking said it.
I agree with that right there.
Enough with the games. Like, Lindy must be sitting there when he's like, really? I've known since March, Kevin. Just say it. Enough with the games. Just go to work and get some fucking players. Like, enough. Because the same thing happened last time. We did an extensive coaching search. You talked to two college coaches. And then you came up with Don. Kept circling back to one guy. Kept circling back to my conversations with Donnie. It's the same fucking script, man. Same script, just a pedigree coach. I mean, like, listen, I'm fine with the choice.
You're fine with it, or you think it's the right choice? What don't you like about Lindy Ruff being hired? Is there a negative to Lindy Ruff being hired?
Before I move on, I got to just say, I heard a hilarious joke yesterday. Driving down the road and saw my ex. It's funny how I'd hit that changes meaning over the years. If you've been hurt in a car crash, hopefully not caused by your ex, you know what to do. Call Salino Law. Call 888-888-8888. The only negative is that, if you want the honest opinion, is that when I said it was telling who the next coach will be, it was like, it basically came down to who's running the show. And if it's Lindy, it's Terry. If it's Berube, it's Kevin and Terry actually saying, or someone of the sort. Lindy was an obvious choice, but it's like, when I say it's a fine choice, it's because I believe that what Thomas and Ryan and Palmer wrote to him, I believe that too. But I don't think Lindy was the only guy that could do what those guys wrote. So, like, that chapter just should have been kept closed. And you should have just kept continuing. Now, if you wanted to bring Lindy back as a hockey advisor, president of hockey ops, whatever, to change the culture, the vibe around the entire franchise, because he understands how to do that. He's one of the best at it, I think, with accountability and expecting the most out of people. Now, granted, I haven't been around a ton. That's a different scenario. Like, if Lindy comes in here, special hockey advisor, and they hire Berube together, you're kind of like, this is fucking unbelievable. But the way it's done just makes it, you know. Then I almost wonder, too, if Lindy looks at it that way.
What do you mean
too,
the way it was done? I don't think Don Granato got fired last week. And I don't think 6 days later they had conversations with Lindy Ruff and all of a sudden now he's the new head coach. This probably went on for months. Kevin Adams probably identified, out of all of the coaching candidates, and we've talked about them at length before, there is an extensive list at this point in time that you could have chose from. The Woodcross, Evison, Berube, GJ Smith, Lambert.
Did Lindy text Terry, or did Terry text Lindy? Did Lindy text Terry? I mean, we're throwing hypotheticals out there, but I mean, you think Lindy's sitting around at his house somewhere and he goes,
that's exactly what I think he's doing.
Terry, give me this roster. I'll have you there in a year.
Nope.
No. Okay.
No, I think this was a call a long time ago to Lindy Ruff. I think they identified from who?
Kevin or Terry?
Kevin. From Kevin. I'm sure Kevin having to go to Terry Pegula and say, hey, Terry, I screwed up and I'm going to cost you $4 million. Don Granato, we need to move on. From what I'm hearing behind the scenes from players and this, that, and the other, it's very apparent that we need to make a coaching change. I screwed up. I apologize. So who's out there that we can go and get that can solidify this, be the right coach, who's had the experience, who's had everything, where the fan base is going to be excited? That conversation probably happened a month and a half ago. Don't tell me that Kevin Adams and Terry Pegula made a decision in six days on Lindy Ruff.
And if so, credit to the owner, but if Terry Pegula called Kevin and said, your decision isn't working, I'm bringing in Lindy Ruff.
Okay. I don't think that's how work. I don't think that's how they work together. I think both guys are communicators. Both Kevin Adams is obviously in talks with Terry Pegula. He may not be around. We may not see him as a fan base, but Terry Pegula is probably talking to Kevin every day or every second day about things that are happening.
I don't know. Maybe it's Terry's good, bad. Thinking, maybe Terry's thinking Kevin isn't quite cut out for this.
What has Kevin done that has been so disastrous? Like, he made a trade with Jack Eichel, which is probably the biggest trade.
Hired the wrong coach, extended a bunch of players.
Did he hire the wrong coach? I don't think he hired the wrong coach.
Let Mike Pekka walk out the door. Not hired the wrong coach, extended the coach too early, extended other players too early.
I'll give you that. Didn't hire the wrong coach. Don Granato was a very good development
coach. All right. I'm not shutting that down just because to not have my point countered. I just don't want to go down the fucking path about how great Don Granato was, because he was not good.
As a development coach, what are you talking about? Back 4 years ago when he took over the team, Petey, you had players on this team that literally shouldn't have been playing in the minors.
But they got ice time. That's what happens when you develop. That's how you develop. You get ice time. You get to play through.
Rasmus Dahlin had ice time with Raul Kruger, and he was shit. He was so bad. You were thinking about, holy shit, this kid should go back to Sweden for a couple years because he is terrible. Don Granato takes over. The kid changes immensely. So does Joki Haru. So does Mittelstadt. So does Tage Thompson. Like, Don Granato has done a lot of good things to build an environment and to build up the confidence of certain players. Whether he can take the team to the next level, obviously we know that. He can't. But he's a great communicator and developer with young players. Now we need a coach that can have the pedigree and the strength to go and have people follow him. The accountability, how they play the system. He's gonna have a system that's not like Don Granato's. It is going to be X and O's, and yes, he wants the offense. But you are going to play defense. You have to, because defense wins championships. Right. It's not just going and outscoring.
I get that. All right. Well, he's all over billboards already. The guy's a celebrity around here.
I said to my wife this morning.
I mean, he is larger than life to a certain generation. But as you mentioned the other day, there's a whole generation that doesn't even know who Lindy Ruff is.
Yes, that's true.
To him, he's like Punch Him Lack to me.
I don't even know who that is.
What the fuck?
But I said this to stop.
You don't know who Punch Him Lack is.
Never heard of him. It's the first time I'm hearing that name.
Okay. Go ahead. Tell me what you said to your wife. Fucking dying to know. And then we'll get to the press conference. Go.
God, you're an ass, man.
Go ahead.
Who is Punch Imlek or whatever you just said? Who is he? Tell me who he is.
Pardon?
Tell me who he is. Look at you. Don't even know who he is. You're looking him up on your phone right now. You're such a meatball.
He's a longtime coach and general manager for the Leafs, and he ended up coaching for the Sabres for a bit. That's all. In what era? In what year? That's the whole joke. Fuck, Rib. That's the whole joke in the 50s. He coached from 1958 to 1980-81. That's my point. Holy fuck, man.
Oh, my God. I hate
We're
you.
We're not in court. You don't have to
It's like, oh, my God.
Just relax. You know? Fine. He's like Scotty Bowman. How's that? He's like, who are some other coaches that you'd know? Who are some old Montreal Canadiens?
It's amazing that our personalities, like I sit there and I'm like, I'm looking at Lindy Ruff on the website right now. And I'm like, I relate to Lindy Ruff way more than you do. You, I sit there and like, you have a personality where you could get along with JJ Paterka and Jackie Quinn and Benson. Like, you're just like that. You have a mind of a 20-year-old. You do. It's like you're sitting there like, I want to have an awesome discussion about the press conference. And I wrote down all these things and you just want to joke about every fucking topic. It's just like, it's like dealing with a serious conversation.
I was talking about how a whole generation doesn't even know who Lindy Ruff is. And I said, to me, he's like who Punchimlak was to me. And then you don't know who Punchimlak is. You played for the most historical franchise in hockey. And this guy's like one of the most historical names in hockey and coaches for the Leafs and Sabres and then finish with the Leafs. And you don't know who the fuck he is. So yeah, it's kind of baffling to me. But anyway, let's get to the press conference. Point is that there's a whole bunch of people that don't know who Lindy is.
But there's a whole bunch of people who do. And I will say this one last time. That I was speaking with my wife this morning just about Lindy Ruff and about the press conference and just seeing him back here in Buffalo. I cannot wait to the first game that he's on the bench. It just brings back memories as a player, brings up back memories as a player playing against the Buffalo Sabres and Lindy Ruff. And I'm like, I look at this man and I see the Buffalo Sabres logo beside his face. And I'm like, this guy is the Buffalo Sabres.
That's why I was saying president of hockey ops. I mean, coaching is great. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, it's the equivalent of watching, you know, Mike Tyson fight Jake Paul. That's what Lindy coming back to coach is like watching Mike Tyson get back in the ring. I swear to God, that's the analogy is perfect, in my opinion.
Who do you think's going to win out of Tyson and Jake Paul?
Well,
is there a feeling that Jake Paul is just better than what everyone gives him credit for?
Maybe you give him more credit than maybe he deserves. I don't know. I don't follow him enough. I don't watch his fights. I don't get sucked into this shit, but I'm in for the Tyson one. Press conference.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Here's a few things that are coming up at Seneca. NHL playoffs are here, and if you've lost NHL bets, there's a chance to win back the payout.
Submit lost NHL parlay sports bets for a chance to win back the payout up to $500. Drawings on April 30th, May 14th, May 28th, June 11th, and June 25th. Check the website for more details.
Jay Farrell will be coming here April 26th and 27th.
That's 8 p.m. at the Seneca Niagara Bears Den. Also, here's a country band that everybody loves. They even mentioned Buffalo in one of their biggest hits. Big and Rich will be here at Seneca Allegheny Resort and Casino Saturday, May 25th. And the last one, and Craig's favorite, the Seafood Spectacular at Seneca Buffalo Creek.
Yummy.
And that's available every Thursday. For information on everything else going on at Seneca, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
Win now. We haven't heard that. We waited for that last year in the year-end press conference.
And Kevin Adams reiterated that multiple times. And that's, to me, I don't think Lindy Ruff is taking this position without having a team that he actually feels can start to win now. There's a few things that stick out in the press conference when we're going to talk about it. Win now, accountability to the system, roles for players, not all going to be the same. And the most important, which I really like, is Lindy will have a big role and voice when it comes to building the roster. So what'd you think?
One major takeaway is I think this team is going to look to get a lot tougher.
I love everything that Lindy had to say. I'm going to be very curious on a few things. Number one is this is win now. And Kevin Adams spoke very clearly, very strongly about it is all about winning now. Okay. So when you look at our current roster, it needs some improvement in areas. And like what I, listening to Lindy speak, spoke a lot about not all players will be the same. He talked about roles on a team, understanding your role on the team and executing that role will help the team win. And then he spoke about you. Useful tools. He said, when I coached a team back in the day, we had 3 to 4 lines and we had useful tools like Rob Ray, Andrew Peters, and Adam Mayer.
Yeah, I didn't know how to interpret that. Like useful tools, like tools you can utilize in the toolbox, or tools like, hey, these guys are tools.
Yeah, you can see probably the latter, but I liked hearing that. We've talked about for the last number of months that there's no identity on this team currently. We have all players that are playing in the top 12. They're all the same. All the same forwards that all play the same. There is no role players. I played 16 years in the NHL. I played in junior hockey. We had players that had different roles than others. That's what makes your team successful. Looking at the Sabres in the last couple of years, everybody just blends in. They're all the same type of player. So I'm really curious to see when Lindy speaks about not all players will play the same way. It makes me very, very happy to hear that they need players that can support and bolster and build other types of talents on the team.
I felt round things out. I'm looking forward to it. I really do think that his message is, it's very Lindy. I mean, a lot of time can change from when you leave and come back or play for someone or not, but he's saying all the same things that he said when he coached here, and he had a lot of success here. He had a lot of success getting really skilled players to buy into playing a solid brand of defensive hockey. I like that someone asked him about the goaltending, and he didn't hesitate. There was no, we'll see in training camp, you know, we'll see, you know, we have a competition. It was UPL.
I loved it. But he also spoke about they have a couple goaltenders in this organization that he's really excited about. But first and foremost, UPL should be, and I think will be, the number one clear cut. And I think Devin Levi will have an opportunity to show that he is an NHL goaltender and, you know, he can be in a position to support the number one, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Then he also spoke about what's the most important thing that you think that makes up a team. And he spoke about goaltending. You have to have goaltending. But he also spoke about what's the second thing. He said it's defense. He says you need defense that are mobile. You need defense that can join the rush and create offense from the back end. You need defense that have the ability to move pucks to the forwards. Because if you don't have defensemen that can move pucks to the forwards, then the forwards don't have the ability to move up ice with speed and go on the attack. So he said the two things that I really think are important to build a team is you have to have great goaltending and you have to have great defense. I thought that was really interesting. Didn't even talk about the forwards, because what I love about this is we have very talented offensive forwards. We have a lot of them. And those guys are going to be held accountable at both ends of the ice with Lindy. This is one thing that will be a big change for them, that it is not about outscoring teams. It's about playing the right way at both ends of the ice. And if you're not going to play well in the defensive zone, then you will lose ice time, because that's what he said. He goes, you know, where myself as a coach, I can take away what players desire, and that's ice time. I love when he talked about being connected, you know, in today's game. You know, when we played back, you know, let's just say 15 years ago, 20 years ago, there was a disconnect between coaching staffs and players. They were not one. You had your coaches, and then you had your players. They did not interact. They were not connected. And Lindy spoke about, you know, players and coaches need to be connected in today's game. Understanding how they need to play, being consistent in how they play night in and night out. I thought that was like, listen, I mean, how many games last year did the Sabres throw a shit sandwich in the first period? Like 25 games? That's one third of your entire season that you go into a game and you're down 1, 2, 3, or even 4 goals in the first period. Lindy will have these guys ready to play right away.
He talked about texting with players. What do you text your coach like 11 p.m.? Hey, you up? What are you up to? You in bed, coach? What are you doing? Like, what are you texting your coach? Hey, coach, can we talk after practice?
That's a good question. I don't know what they talk about. What are you because texting your coach? I never had that. I never, not one single time in my NHL career, was I ever texting with a coach. Wow. Not one single time. In today's society, these players could be texting and discussing certain things that, like, you know, coming up on a road trip.
Play back to things you heard Lindy say in the locker room, okay? Like, just, you know, we have to be better. You have to be more responsible. Just whatever coaching advice he gave guys or said to guys. Is he texting that to them? Like, what, is he at the front of the bus? Terrible play in the third period. Terrible.
I don't think that's what he's talking about, but you know,
I'm just curious. I'm just curious about the communication.
I don't think he's talking about, you know,
I'm fucking around, man. Like
I know you're fucking around, but like,
lighten up. What are you texting your coach about when he's at home? I don't know that I ever would have thought of texting a coach.
Just I understand seems... that, but these kids are completely different from us. They're on a different stratosphere. We keep talking about different generation, different type of player. I can see how Lindy spoke about how he's evolved as a coach, because he's had to evolve because the players have changed. He's not anywhere near the same coach as what he was when he left here, you know, 11 years ago.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see what he does with the lines. If he keeps them the same, you know, is Tuck Thompson and Skinner a guarantee? You know, we've always had Cousins, who, Turk or Quinn?
Well, I don't think that we even can discuss the roster right now, because I think the roster is going to be quite a bit different.
Not in your by top the time six, we I hit, don't think.
What's that?
I don't think in your top six.
Well, I think it would be important to bring in a top six forward.
Jesus.
I think we need a top six forward. I mean, if we're running and gunning with Dylan Cousins and Paterka and Quinn, who I think are insanely talented hockey players, there's no question. They're still young. I wouldn't say they're not developing because they've been in this league long enough, but you look at all of the teams that are having success in the Stanley Cup playoffs, every single team, they're not young. It's not a young team. They're middle-aged veteran players that have played a long time. And at what point in time when we're going to look at our top six, and I don't know whether you're putting Zach Benson into your top six or if you're putting Jeff Skinner in your top six, which is, sorry, man, if Jeff Skinner's in your top six, I'm gonna ask you a big freaking problem.
Is Zach Benson guaranteed to be here next year?
Yes.
Okay.
He's one of my favorite players to watch throughout the entire year.
Feel free to say that's a stupid question. I feel like it's somewhat legitimate of a question. I think you know where I'm coming from.
It's a great question. He scores 11 goals, 30 points as a 18-year-old kid. Like, can we even begin to look at what this kid's going to be like in 3-4 years from now? He scored 30 points this year as an 18-year-old.
I was thinking about this yesterday. Lindy's going to have after we did our show, Lindy's going to have a lot of say in the roster.
And I hope he does. I hope he does. And that to me is the reason why I look at this and, it took me a little bit of time when I heard Lindy Ruff was the new head coach. I know how good Lindy Ruff is as a coach. I know how I was coached by him for many years. I respect him immensely and his knowledge and how he coaches. I didn't necessarily like him as a coach, as a player, because he was hard. He was hard and demanding. And I appreciate Lindy way more now that I am done and finished. And I think back to all of my coaches that I had that I liked and disliked. And Lindy was, to me, the most captivating. To me, he made me by far the most nervous. And I was coached by some very good coaches. Lindy has an aura around him that he is just, the environment next year is going to be completely different with Lindy there.
He has to have players in mind that he wants to have come here and play for him. The way he described having, it had nothing to do with me. My name happened to have been mentioned, but the way he described role players and understanding their role and having guys to lean on and with where the game has kind of gone again a bit.
What do you mean by that? The fighting, the physical side of things.
The Reeves, the Tom Wilsons, the Delorier, the McDermott. Like, these are all things that are on people's radars now.
Yeah. There's still, there's not a lot of players like that in the league.
No, there aren't. But I mean, you have to imagine that he's not looking for guys like that, but looking for guys that can do that.
Yeah.
Like, I'd bring Pat Maroon here. I don't give a shit. I'm sick and tired of,
Pat Maroon will never come here.
No, Pat Maroon will never come here.
And it's not because he hates the Sabres organization, but Pat Maroon's 36 years old. He's won 3 Stanley Cups. And he is all about winning. He bounces around from the top teams in the league. He's currently on the Boston Bruins right now. And he is a perfect piece for what they need on the fourth line. And I just think Patrick Maroon is about chasing cups and not basically about helping a team get into the playoffs. So I love the idea of it, but I don't think he deep down inside is in that thought process of coming to a team like ours. But I loved what Lindy said about not having all players playing the same roles. And that to me is, we've talked about this for a very long time. Having players that have different tool sets to drive this team in the right direction. And I don't know what's going to happen in the NHL today. In today's game, you need to have three top lines, not one top line. You need to have three lines that can, that are very highly skilled, and you need a fourth line that has that energy and physicality, but that can still play. Look at the Vegas Golden Knights with their fourth line that they've had for the last couple of years. He said everything. It put a smile on my face, and how he spoke about accountability on the team, which I think there's been zero accountability on this team for the last couple of years. I think Donnie's a great person, but he was their friend. And the being a friend as the leader and commander in chief, that's not the right way to go. But I loved when he talked about the accountability part. He said, that's a big word. And he spoke about each individual player has to hold themselves accountable. How they treat themselves away from the rink. How they treat themselves, how they, when they get to the rink, workouts, all this kind of stuff. That's being accountable to yourself. And then it just trickles down to coaching accountability. Then it comes to inside the locker room accountability. It's just everything that he's saying is just bang on. Can I ask you one more question before we get out of here?
Go for it.
I know you want to bring up Bobrovsky, stick save of the year by far. But what were your thoughts on Tammy Panarin's hit? TJ Oshie takes one to the head, has to leave the game. Not even a call, not even a penalty on this.
Is none of this on Oshie? Look at how he's playing that puck.
Is it on Oshie? I think there has to be a responsibility on the player that has the puck at all times. You have to know your surroundings. The game of hockey is physical. Game of hockey can be dangerous sometimes. TJ Oshie was going for the puck. His blinder, not understanding that Panarin came in. If you look at Panarin and the way that he comes into this body check, he has two hands on the stick. He's low. It's just, it's an unfortunate ending to a play that I don't think is dirty. I think it's a good body check, but the head is always going to have some sort of whiplash or be hit. And I don't think he's a dirty player. I'm just going back to saying, if this was Tom Wilson making the same hit, he'd be out for six games minimum.
Well, hold on a second, though. Tom Wilson also flies through guys and skates through a lot faster with guys. Like, I don't think, like you said, Panarin wasn't going to crank him. Looked like he was just going to get in front of him and finish a check and let kind of Oshie skate into him while he was gliding toward him. The point I'm trying to make is, TJ Oshie is reaching for this puck. I mean, part of this is on him. You got to be aware of this.
How about your $11 million player even making this hit? How about this guy who has 110 points in the NHL and scored 45-plus goals and who's your best player in your team making this hit? I wonder if... you're gonna go there. I'm not going there. Anyway, playoff hockey, baby. Guys are playing to win. That's what it's all about.
That'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.